to Africa, where Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, is continuing his trip around the continent. The Kremlin's top diplomat is on his way to Eswatini, Botswana and Angola, and has finished meeting with the leaders of South Africa. So why is Russia working hard to maintain and build ties with the continent? Stephen Groost is head of the Russia-Africa project at the South African Institute of International Affairs. And Stephen is our guest this morning. Welcome.
Thanks so much, Patricia.
Sergei Lavrov has a number of trips planned across Africa over the next couple of months ahead of a Russia-Africa summit that's scheduled for July. What is driving this diplomatic push across the continent?
Well, I think primarily it's about winning friends and influencing people. It's about Russia showing that it's not isolated despite Western sanctions and restrictions on Russia's movement. It's showing that it can project itself outside of Europe and North America. Of course, there are trade opportunities. There is access to markets, political support and general influence. You know, don't forget there are 54 African members in the General Assembly of the United Nations, and that's about a quarter of the entire bloc. And there's been a lot of diplomatic wooing of African countries over the last year, I would say.
South Africa claims to be impartial on the Ukraine conflict, but the country's leaders have just agreed to participate in a joint military exercise with Russia and China next month. So are they really neutral when it comes to the war, given that?
So it's really the argument of neutrality or strategic non-alignment, it's sometimes called, is wearing a bit thin. You know, if you're going to be taking part in joint military exercises with Russia and China off the coast of the KwaZulu-Natal province in South Africa and doing it over the 24th of February, which is the anniversary of the invasion of Ukraine by Russia, you're going to draw some attention. And it's very difficult. You know, the public isn't buying the argument that South Africa is neutral. It tends to lean towards Russia. For example, the defense minister went to a defense conference in Russia in August last year. That created some controversy. We had a Russian oligarch super yacht that docked in Cape Town against the wishes of the US. So, you know, officially neutral, but in practice, very close to Russia.
And what is public sentiment around that?
So it's difficult to tell. There was a poll recently by the Brenthurst Foundation that had a huge percentage of South Africans opposing the war, somewhere in the region of about 75%. We unfortunately don't have all that much opinion polling, but I have to say, participating in online fora and looking at social media, there are a lot of South Africans who support Russia's position, who feel the West are hypocrites, that the West are full of double standards, that Russia is justified in what it's doing, that this is a war that NATO brought upon itself and is using Ukraine as a proxy. So on social media, I think these battles are playing out. And, Russia's argument that it's an anti-colonial power, that the world doesn't need a superpower and it certainly doesn't need the US as a superpower, that it needs a more even distribution of power geopolitically. There's a lot of resonance for those arguments in South Africa and in other African countries, if social media is anything to gauge by.
Last year, the South African president expressed a desire to mediate in the Ukraine conflict as a neutral party. But do you believe that position has been undermined by taking part in these military exercises with China and Russia?
Yeah, I don't think South Africa's mediation push was ever really serious. I don't think it has the diplomatic clout that it once had. I don't think it has good enough relations with both sides. I think it was a bit of a half-hearted attempt. Ukraine would find it very difficult to have South Africa as a mediator in this conflict. I mean, the most likely and successful mediator so far has been Turkey, as your previous guest was talking about. And that may be where eventually the international community turns to, because, of course, the Black Sea Grain Initiative was largely facilitated by Turkey and the United Nations to allow ships carrying grain out of the Black Sea and onto Africa, amongst other places. But yes, you know, if you've shown favoritism to one side and you've taken part in military naval exercises, I think that's going to count against you if you put yourself forward as a mediator.
It's not just Russia trying to shore up ties. The US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen arrives in South Africa tomorrow, and the United States has expressed their concerns about any country exercising with Russia as Russia wages a brutal war against Ukraine. That's the statement they've made. Is this visit a sign that the US and Europe need to do more to build stronger links with Africa?
So Africa has definitely been a popular destination. We had Antony Blinken last year in South Africa. We had the Russian Foreign Minister Lavrov visited four countries, and he's coming to, after his Southern Africa trip, he's going to be doing a North African tour. We always have the Chinese Foreign Minister taking his first trip of the year to Africa. We've had President Macron, we've had Chancellor Scholz, all come to Africa in the last 6 months or so. And it is a popular destination. But yes, I think the US and Europe do need to do more to get African countries on their side and keep them on their side. Russia is certainly trying to peel away as many countries as it can from the West and deepen the relationships that it already has. I mean, if you look at the UN votes on Ukraine, the continent has basically been split down the middle, with about half of the countries supporting the Western position and roughly half either abstaining or not being in the room for the vote. And we saw that in March, and we also saw it in October in the vote on the referenda. So it's questionable to what extent these trips are paying dividends. But as I said right at the beginning, I think for Russia, it's all about showing that they still have influence and reach and power beyond Europe.
Thank you so much for your time, Stephen.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Stephen Groost is head of the Russia-Africa project at the South African Institute of International Affairs, and you're listening to ABC RN Breakfast.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.